You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning. It is a beautiful day in Florida, right here in Palm City. Karen, who was our friend that always bragged on Palm City, came and said, oh, the palm trees are waving their palms. And
he's been gone for so long.
He has.
I forgot his name.
We should shout out to him, though. We really should. No, he had such a perspective. I don't know, being in Palm Beach, I'm going to be picking on our guests because they're down in a southern county. But that's all right. We'll consider that God's country, too. So welcome, Karen. Tell us about your program that's coming up later in the week.
Yes, my program, Hidden Places, every Friday, 11 a.m., where those of us that are on the program, I've got three co-hosts, and we just bring together whatever the Lord has been speaking to each one of us. And the Lord always has a clear message in the program as we begin to just kind of chit-chat and have conversation, bring the scriptures, and allow the Lord by the Holy Spirit to say what he wants to say.
And sometimes I hear you say, I don't know what we're going to say.
I don't.
You always have something to say. And I'm not going to pick on Mary today because, but I would just say my wife goes, I don't have anything to say, but she has something to say, I'll tell you. So my wife is now with the program on Thursday mornings, 11 o'clock. So we now have Monday and Tuesday with our friend David. Should we pick on him since he's trying to vacation? I don't know if he's out of town.
Well, that's
or
what
not,
we do, whoever's not here.
Yeah, we pick on him. We should do that. So if you have a good pick on David story, you can call in and share that with Sherry this morning. But Dave, wherever you are, enjoy your morning off, and you don't need to fret that I'm not following your script so well. He left things in my hands, which is maybe challenging to a well-organized person because I'm sort of on a different channel. But my wife Rachel and Alexa will be here at 11 o'clock tomorrow. Then Friday, Karen, you will be on air Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock. But this is Wednesday Live. Thank you for joining us today. And there is a most important event that's coming up very shortly in West Palm, September the 19th. You're going to want to put it on your calendar. You're going to want to learn more about the organization, but I want to welcome Frank Marciano and his bride, Mary. Welcome to WCNO. And I don't know if you've been on air here before or not. I haven't had you in one of my programs yet.
Well, it's good to be here. First of all, thank you so much. I believe I was here one time to talk about Miracle on the Water 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I was here with Keith Masters, who's a good friend. Yeah. In fact, that's where I met Mary, my wife. I met her at Miracle on the Water,
Miracle?
2022 at the Causeway Cove Marina.
Wow.
To be exact.
That is really awesome. Well, the Florida Christian Leadership Network is something we're going to be talking about today. And so just give us a thumbnail. Let's kick out the promo for what's coming.
Okay.
And what the Leadership Network is, and then I'm just going to say, Frank, tell me some of your God story. So tell us about the Florida Christian Leadership Network. What is that, Okay. And what is getting ready to happen?
Well, the South Florida Christian Leadership Network, it's really a group of people, a bunch of our friends who are leaders in the community and also do ministry work from different churches. And we come together and we create this event every year, which I'll talk a little bit more about, to give people an opportunity to meet new people. We're networking and linking new people together, and we're also proclaiming the goodness of God over the land. And I can give you a little background about how it came about, if you want me to do that at this point.
We'll do that in a little bit.
Okay.
Tell us what's coming up.
Yeah, so we have this event on September 19th at the Palm Beach County Convention Center. It's our second annual event. We're celebrating the miracle of America because we believe that America truly is special. We're celebrating 250 years of faith and freedom. So we will have a network event from 2 to 5:30. We will have worship at 5:30. The dinner program will start at 6 o'clock. It's very much like the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance Christmas Proclamation Supper. And our keynoter is Bill Federer, who's a noted historian. He's written 30 books. He's going to be talking about miracles in American history. And, of course, we will be making declarations, and we will have some patriotic themes and some music and whatnot along with it. So we're very, very excited about it.
That's awesome.
We're expecting 500 people, and over 40 exhibitors will be there as well,
fantastic,
sharing what they do in the community.
That is awesome. That is awesome. All right, so let's start with you. What's your God story? How did you get to where you are? You didn't start here.
No, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. When you ask me my God story, that can be a long talk.
I'm not going to ask Mary if your project's still in process, but
well, we all are, aren't we? Right up until the time we stop breathing in this body, we are a work in progress. Absolutely. So yes, I am a work in progress.
Amen.
Absolutely. You know, I grew up Catholic. I went to 13 years of Catholic school. My mom got baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1970 in the Jesus movement, and she got on fire for the Lord, and eventually I started going to a charismatic church. I've always known the Lord. I always took my faith seriously. I was a good Catholic boy. I was an altar boy. I went to confession. I got my first Holy Communion, the whole thing, which is wonderful. But I began to go to a charismatic church. I went to university, got my degree, went into business as an engineer, and I always served in the church, was active in the church. I think I preached my first sermon to our church in 1992. I was ordained in the late 90s. And as a businessman working in the grind of business, I was always looking forward to later years in life when I could do ministry work and focus more on making a difference for the Lord. Even though business is ministry, by the way, you're creating jobs for people, livelihoods, you're helping families. So business is ministry, but I was able to leave the corporate world in 2017 and then begin to pursue more of, you know, my calling in the Lord.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm just thinking, when Mama received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that changed things, didn't it?
It changed things, yeah. She would come home on fire for God and run around the house preaching to everybody. The whole house changed. She turned the house upside down.
Yeah, there you go.
My five brothers and sisters and I, you know, come from kind of a big Italian family.
That's awesome. Yep. So you, in business, were an engineer?
Yes. Yes.
In the state of Florida, or where were you?
Yeah, and I started my career at IBM as an engineer, development engineer, and then I went to work for a company that manufactured appliances, all types of different appliances, and I became a manager and retired as the president of a pretty large company, and the Lord did it all. He just used my abilities, and he moved me up the ranks where I was able to retire at a relatively young age from the corporate world and then pursue other interests, which is what I'm doing now.
Okay. Now, Mary is here.
You
already told us that a miracle happened.
Yes.
More than just a miracle on the water. There's another miracle that happened.
Yes.
So, hello, Mary. Pull that mic up a little closer and say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone. God bless.
Okay. Now, I hear a little bit of accent. It doesn't sound like Southern Tennessee, like my wife has. So where are you from?
I'm from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. Okay. Well, greet everybody in your native language.
Bueno, le quiero dar las gracias a todos por la oportunidad que me dan de estar aquí hoy y que puedan compartir con nosotros esta hora.
Well, that was really great, but I don't know what you said. Now tell me what you said.
It's a privilege to be here with you all.
Thank you.
And I'm very happy that you'll get to spend this hour with us.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Praise the Lord.
Karen, that's pretty great, wasn't it?
Well, I was trying to translate because as of late, I've been online watching all the stuff in Venezuela and now Colombia.
Mm.
So trying to keep up with the news and having to translate everything. So I knew that you were saying that's happy to be here and praise
wow.
God.
Hey.
Wow. Well, that's really great. I didn't realize we have some mix here with language. That's going to be good because, you know, part of my vision is that WCNO will become an HD station.
Mm-hmm.
And by adding HD, we'll end up with four different channels. And I would like one of those to be a Christian channel that would do kind of what we do in English, but do it in Spanish. And so that is part of our vision. So you can pray with us about that. All right, we're back to you, Frank. You all met? You and Mary met?
Well, I met her during Miracle on the Water. She was a volunteer. And, I mean, we never looked at each other as potential husband and wife. We just were serving the Lord. Actually, you know, Deborah Thompson, Chaplain Dave's wife, she brought Mary to my home one day to a home group meeting. And next thing you know, we got to know each other and we started dating. In fact, our first date was at church with Chaplain Dave. And we had lunch together, the four of us. That was our first date. You know, Mary was very conservative. Let's just say that. Very conservative.
Good for you, Mary.
I invited her to an art festival and she goes, "Can I bring somebody?" And I'm like, "What?" We didn't go to the art festival, but we did go to church and went to lunch with Chaplain Dave and Deborah.
Awesome. Awesome. I love Chaplain Dave.
No, Dave's a great man.
A great, great brother.
Too. Yes, he is.
All right, so you all have been married a few years. You got a partner, and here we are. We have South Florida Christian Leadership Network.
Yes.
How did that get started?
Well, it's interesting because in 2021, I got invited to the first Treasure Coast Christian Alliance Proclamation Supper. And earlier that year, myself and a team of leaders that I had been working with in Sunlight Ministries, which is the nonprofit that I have, we had just written all these declarations over the seven mountains that influence culture. And we wrote a declaration for abortion to see the laws tightening up. And we wrote a declaration for the medical field because we feel that its profit is too much of the motive behind the medical field in many ways. So I go to the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance annual proclamation supper, and I'm listening to these guys make proclamations over the seven mountains, and I'm like, this is the stuff we just wrote. This is incredible. I'm sitting there going, wow. And then I got to meet Chaplain Dave for the first time in person, and he said a few things, you know, that struck me. And I said, wow, I got to get to know this guy better. I mean, so then I started coming to the Treasure Coast. Of course, we did Miracle on the Water in 2022. I met Mary during that time. But I kept coming to the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance banquets. So I would sponsor a table and invite my friends. And then I'd come the next year, sponsor a table, invite my friends, sponsor two tables. Well, after a few years of that, my friends started saying, Frank, you can do this in Palm Beach County. You can do that. We need this in Palm Beach County, and you can do it. And I'm like, me? What? How can I do it? But they saw it. I didn't see it. And then once Mary and I got married, well, I knew she was Sherry's number one volunteer at many of your events, and she's
right,
running around.
Right.
She decorated the place, did all this stuff. And I said, well, I got Mary with me on board. You know, maybe we could do this. So I finally said yes. And then I said, what are we going to call this? And the name, the South Florida Christian Leadership Network, came to mind because that's what I had been doing after
right.
I retired from the corporate world. That's what I had been doing, is networking with leaders. You know, COVID was a great thing because the church got out of the building. And I met all these people that were getting out of the building and saying, we're not going to be locked down. We're going to praise Jesus out in the open field. So we got to know everybody through COVID. Really, it accelerated the network. So I have to give the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance a lot of credit because they provided the blueprint for the event we did last year. We did our first event last year at the Airport Hilton, and I'm thinking, I think I could get 200 people there. Well, we had 300 people there, not That's 200, awesome. 300, and we had 18 people with network tables exhibiting what they do for the community, which was amazing. It was a stretch. We made it, we called it Fighting for the Soul of Our Nation. And the thing that's really cool, over 60 people were there in Palm Beach from the Treasure Coast because of their relationships that God put together with me and others during right. the time of Miracle on the Water. Right. So we have tremendous support from the Treasure Coast, and the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance certainly was there and has been a great supporter. Chris Fogle and I are friends, and the support from the Treasure Coast has just been incredible. From the awesome. Treasure Coast, excuse me.
Awesome. And I know that for those who may remember back in the day, you mentioned Sherry. Jim Way had Renewed Life Ministries, and I remember those early years where we would have hundreds of men from five counties. We had Palm Beach, Martin, St. Lucie, Indian River, and Okeechobee counties that came together. And so since the restoration, really, of some of that ministry in the Treasure Coast with the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, it has been like a daily burden of my heart to see raised up in Palm Beach County a restoration, because we sort of lost a lot of that. And I see that God has anointed, appointed, and raised you up. And this is absolutely tremendous, because what God is doing in our nation is huge. What God is doing in Florida is bigger than that, I believe, in a lot of ways. I mean, the whole nation is watching us. Whether they want to or not, you know, people are watching. But we know that God is at work, and this is absolutely tremendous. And I would just say that this program, Wednesday Live, is sponsored by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, and I'm blessed to serve as a part of that team. And so to see what God is doing, to see the growth, to see the impact, and it's just you guys are just getting started.
Right.
So the potential. Back in the day when we used to have in Palm Beach County what I knew as the Leaking Teepee, which was a large auditorium, would seat up to, I don't know, about 10,000 people. And in those days, we would fill that with Renewed Life Ministries. And so there is a foundation of faith, and I believe a plan of God to do something much bigger than what we can even see today. So let's talk a little bit about what's coming up now. What's getting ready to happen? What is the message? What's on your heart?
Okay. So I just keep thinking the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein. You know, God is involved in all the affairs of man, which is why I love the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, because linking business, civic, and ministry.
Yes.
And that word resonates with me, which is what we're doing. We will have government people there. We will have business people
Tremendous.
There. We will have ministry people there. So this year is very, very, very special, because the Lord has placed us in a unique time. It's 250 years of America.
That's awesome.
This is the semi-quincentennial for the United States of America. And I think it's only right that we should celebrate the miracle of America. And I have a lot to say about that as time goes on. But it's just an amazing country that we live in. And so this event is entitled Celebrating the Miracle of America, 250 Years of Faith and Freedom. Now, we got together with our team after the other event, and the beginning of the other event was September 27th last year. The beginning of the year, we got together and we said to everybody, what do you think we're going to do this year? How many people do you think are going to be there? We had 300 people last year, and the team said 500. We all unanimously said. And then we said, okay, we don't want just 500 more people like us. We don't want 500 more people, average age, let's just throw out a number like 50 or something like right. that. Number one, it would be great if we could get 100 young people to come.
Wow, that's
when
awesome.
I say young people, I'm talking under 30, under 20, because we got to think generationally. The seeds that we're sowing now, the things we're doing now, we need to be doing for the next generation, just like the men that won the Revolutionary War knew that they were creating something completely new for mankind and certainly for their children and children's children. So we're in a season of reformation, and we're involved in that with what we do. So young people, the other thing is we have to honor the military.
Yes.
We have to honor
yes.
our military yes. because without military, without law enforcement, we can't walk down the street and go to the store in safety. My wife here, Mary, can't get in the car and go shopping without safety and security.
Right.
So we have to have safety and security. So we said we're going to honor the military. We're going to get young people. I'll tell you a little story. So last minute, we get an invite to the Navy League dinner in Fort Lauderdale. Last minute, a couple months ago. Mary and I, we go, you know what? Let's go. We bought our tickets. We went to the Navy League dinner. And what do we see? We see a bunch of kids dressed up in Sea Cadet uniforms, bringing the colors. And we're sitting here going, look at this. We got military and we got kids. We make friends with the president of the Navy League. His name is Abby Montez. He's a master gunnery sergeant, retired. He has an amazing testimony about what God did to take all the fear of battle out of his life. He has an amazing story about positioning his gun equipment where bullets missed his leg by inches. If he would have clicked the next lever over, he would have been hit. It's just an amazing story that he has. So we leave that night. We're the last people to leave. We made all these friends, and the Sea Cadets are coming to our event to bring the colors. Abby, the president of the Navy
wow.
League Fort Lauderdale, he's going to be honoring the military. Like, all we do, Mary and I, show up, and then we watch the Lord show off. He just
That's
brings
awesome.
The people together. He does it. He brings them in. It's just incredible. So we're going to have Sea Cadets there bringing the colors at the beginning of the event. We're going to do it like the beginning of a military-type event because we want to honor our veterans. The Sea Cadets are going to have a table, and they're going to be pinning. Every veteran that comes to our event is going to get a special pin
awesome.
With an American flag and a veteran symbol on the pin because we think America is special and freedom isn't free. Blood has been shed for what we have, and we have to respect that.
That's awesome. Right here is a veteran right here. You know, Miss Karen is, you were in the Navy, right?
I was. Yeah, I'm a 20-year veteran.
Wow,
isn't this
praise
awesome?
The Lord. I wish I knew. We would have brought her a pin and gave it to her today.
But I may have to come to the event.
You have to come to the event.
Yes.
You have to come. You do.
All right, so we have the opening. We're honoring the military. We're the veterans, and thank God for the safety and security. My son just graduated from Navy boot camp and is now in school in Pensacola.
Wow.
Studying for
Praise
cybersecurity
God.
To be
Praise
a part of the protection of our nation.
Praise
so,
God.
Amen.
Well,
we believe in this.
Yes.
We believe in this.
It's important.
It is important. All right, so what happens next? Tell us about your speaker and the message that's going to be
yeah.
coming.
Yeah. So I, some people recommended to me from Turning Point and Citizens Defending Freedom, you got to have Bill Federer. He's the guy. So I'm like, okay, you know, I don't just jump. I got to sit back and think about it. Okay, we saw a video of him. We weren't really sure, but I felt in my heart he was probably the one. We went to the Christian Citizen Conference down at Coral Ridge Presbyterian, and we heard him in person. And Mary gave me the thumbs up. Mary's like, I love this guy. Let's do it. So it just was easy. You know, he agreed. He's coming. And then I said, what do you want to talk about? And he goes, I want to talk about miracles in American history. Mm. And I'm like, I don't know if that really fits the whole thing, what's going on here. And then one day I fasted, and in the middle of the night I woke up, and the Lord gave me Celebrating the Miracle of America. And I said to Mary, you know what, Mary? Bill's topic is correct. It's right on. It's what the Lord wants. And now the whole theme ties together. So he's going to be talking about miracles in American history. I'll talk a little bit about history leading up to the American Revolution. And I'm prepared to talk a little bit about that today because the American Revolution has fascinated me this year with the 250-year anniversary. I've watched every, Mary can tell you, I've watched every single documentary that I could find about founding fathers, George Washington, the American Revolution. We went and saw young Washington. We saw Revolutionary America at Hillsdale College put on. Mary and I went to the movies. And I read Eric Metaxas's new book, Revolution. I just finished it a day ago. And it's a 600-page book. And if you know Frank Marciano, Frank Marciano doesn't sit down long enough to read a 600-page book. But I have done it over the past 2 months. I've just been enjoying it so much. I've enjoyed it so much. And so I have enough knowledge to be dangerous now about the American Revolution.
Wow. Excellent.
Yeah. Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. So we're going to celebrate the miracle of America, and we're going to educate people about it. We're going to talk facts and miracles and things that happened and brought. That's right. We need that, because if we forget our history and if we forget the founding of the nation, we lose sight of it. Mm-hmm. We lose sight of it. I was talking to a young man the other day, and I started talking about the Bible and things that happened in history. And he goes, what do I care about that? I don't care about that. That isn't relevant today.
Right.
That has nothing to do. That's old
the
stuff.
Lie. The lie.
The lie.
Yeah.
The lie. And during the American Revolution, the American population was the most educated population on the planet. Why? Because they came here to escape religious persecution. They built churches. They put schools in the churches. And guess what? Because of the invention of the printing press and people that put their life on the line to translate the Bible into English, they had printed Bibles. They were teaching people to read and write in the churches, and they were teaching them the Bible. And this population was educated. One of the ways to keep people down is keep them illiterate. And in Europe, the peasants mostly were illiterate. And I learned all this year, you know, by digging in. They were mostly illiterate. So they were peasants. They stayed peasants. The educated elite, they were the educated elite. And America changed all that. We take it for granted today, but it changed all that. Mm. And because people were educated, because they could read, because we had printing presses and people could print articles and distribute them, the colonies became unified. And at the right time, I'll back up a little bit and talk about what led to that. But they were able to get on the same page quickly because of the literacy and the ability to print materials and the knowledge of the Bible. It's just an incredible story.
That's awesome. Why don't we jump to a song and we'll come back, give you opportunity to catch your breath. And again, the event that's coming up, let's promote the event. Celebrating 250 years of freedom, and we're calling the event this year,
Celebrating the Miracle of America, 250 years of faith and freedom.
Celebrating the Miracle of America. It's about time that we take this front and center stage.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
You can shout some, Karen? You can shout some. You don't need to be
during
silent.
During the song, I will.
During the song, you'll shout. Mary can shout, too. All right? Well, you don't even know what the song is yet. We'll be right back. This is Wednesday Live. Keep your dial set right here. 89.9 WCNO, Palm City, Florida. Wow, that was Alvin Slaughter with Holy, Holy, Holy. I could just kind of lose my direction and stay stuck right there, but we can't because we have Frank and Mary Marciano, and we're talking about a great event that is coming up, celebrating 250 years of freedom, celebrating the miracles of America that God has brought. I know we have a lot of listeners that are just tuning in. Incidentally, keep in mind, anytime you're listening to any of our live programming, if you missed part of it, you can go online to WCNO.com and you can go to the date of the airing and go to On Demand. On Demand, pull up the date, and you'll be able to go to that program and hear that program again. So if you missed part of today's program, you will be able to go back and pick that up. All right, Frank and Mary, we're just talking to you about this upcoming event. It's coming up on September the 19th. This is number two. Off yes. to a great start, going to have a great gathering. It's going to be a powerful night. So how can people find you, web page, phone numbers? Where would they go? How can they become a part of the event?
Okay, so it's very simple. If you go to www.sfcln.org, so South Florida Christian Leadership Network, sfcln.org, you can look up the event and see all the information for registration, sponsorships, and whatnot. And don't wait too long because it's filling up. And the phone number, 954-655-8480. Call. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and you'll get a call back right away. Or you can text to that number, 954-655-8480.
And once again, this is South Florida Christian Leadership Networking Banquet. I am absolutely positive that God loves it when the body of Christ gets together.
Yes.
And when we crawl out of our boxes, I'm a pastor, so I, you know, don't think I don't have some heart in this and some name in the game as well. But when we crawl out of our boxes and get into the presence of God together, there's something special that happens.
Yes.
That is more than what we are ever by ourselves. And just kind of on Wednesdays, personally teaching again through John 17, and that message that the world will know the Father's love for them is the same as his love for his own Son because of the love and unity that God brings into the body of Christ. I am thrilled to be a partner with you all in what you're doing in Palm Beach County. We're up here in the Treasure Coast. Palm Beach is a part of what God is up to here in the state of Florida. We're excited. All right, so you kind of left off talking a little bit about the American Revolution. A lot of miracles took place in that.
Yes.
Where do you want to go from here? I know you have a bunch of other thoughts.
Yeah, so I want to tell you a little bit more about the event. Just a few tidbits, but I think they're cool. I have a friend, he's like 6'4", and George Washington was 6'3". He was a big man. He was a towering man, a strong man. He was a tower of strength, stability, and determination. That guy, the father of our country, and he was the father of our country. All the founding fathers said George is the best of all of us. God just placed that man there. So the more I learn, the more I'm amazed. So this guy's going to dress up in a George Washington costume, and he's going to be walking around the event. We have a 26-year-old young man who's going to be dressed up like Uncle Sam, and he's going to be there at the event. He's going to be manning a table as well. A woman called Karen Moran wrote a book, The Constitution Made Easy. It's really for children, so the children can learn
wow.
about the Constitution. They'll be there exhibiting and sharing the book as well. So we're excited about that. Now, we're going to give away some patriotic memorabilia and some special books. So everyone that comes in gets a ticket for the raffle. We're not selling raffle tickets. You have a dinner seat, you're going to get a ticket with a number on it, right? So we're going to pull this raffle during the event. There may be a smaller raffle during the exhibition for smaller items. But we're going to give away an America Praise book, America Praise. This is a masterpiece that was done by Coral Ridge Ministries down in Fort Lauderdale. We went to the Christian Citizen Conference they had in March, and I bought a dozen copies of this book and gave them away to all our friends. There's a picture of George Washington praying at Valley Forge, and there's a comment in the book that says there were some British loyalists saw George Washington praying and said, "Our cause is lost. The colonies are going to win."
Wow.
Just because of that, and people say these guys were deists. No, deists don't pray. Deists believe God created the world and walked away from it, and here we are. George Washington was a praying man, and his men were known occasionally to interrupt him when they needed him. They'd go into his tent, and he'd be praying, and they would be interrupting praying. Why? Because we were the underdogs. America was the underdogs. Right. Britain was the strongest nation in the world. They had 400 Navy ships. I think at the beginning of it, we had none, right? We had merchant ships that we were trying to convert and go and all this kind of stuff. So that book, America Prays, is amazing. It's amazing. We're going to be giving one of those away. If you go online to buy that book, it's like $100. But we're going to be giving one away. Eric Metaxas' book, Revolution, which I just finished reading, we're going to be giving one of those away. The 1599 Geneva Bible. Now, this is not an original 1599 Geneva Bible, but it's a, you know, it's a replica. It has Martin Luther's 95 Theses, because the Protestant Reformation was a very important part of the founding of America. We're going to give away a Declaration of Independence. And there's we have a wonderful framed picture of a current American flag over the original 13-star American flag we're going to give away. So the thing I love about the raffle is because the Lord decides who gets what. When we pulled that ticket, last year we did it, and people were getting things. They were so excited about what they got. It was like that was for that person. We could see it. So the Lord decides. So I want to talk a little bit about history leading up to the founding of America, if you'll allow me to do
that. Let's do it.
So, you know, you have the Magna Carta in 1215, right? So the British nobles, they get together and they say, "Hey, King John, you know, what is this? You can't just do whatever you want. This is ridiculous." So some of the key points: the king is not above the law. Even the monarch must obey the law. Government power has limits. Due process of law. People cannot be imprisoned, stripped of property, or punished arbitrarily. Legal procedures must be followed before punishment. Trial by peers. Protection of property. The king just can't say, "Oh, I like that. I'm going to take your property." Because that's what was going on. We can't do that. Limits on taxation. There has to be representation. See, the British came up with the no taxation without representation. The Americans are educated, and so when the British tried to tax them, they go, whoa, we want representation. Because this was an educated population. They knew what was going on. And accountability of government. Officials need to follow the law and be accountable. That's 1215, the Magna Carta.
That's awesome.
So these guys in America knew that. They knew what was going on. Then you have, this is how the Lord historically set up the framing of America. You got an educated population. You have documents out there from the past. And England tried to put together a democratic monarchy. So now you get the Bible being translated into English. Wycliffe translated the Latin Vulgate in 1380s. 44 years later, after he was dead, he was declared a heretic. They dug up his bones and burned him and scattered the ashes to make a point. This guy did a horrible thing by translating the Bible in a language people could understand. I'm not making this up. This is history.
It's history. Mm-hmm.
Then you get metal typeset printing press invented by Johannes Gutenberg around 1440 to 1450 in Germany. They had printing presses, but they were wood. They didn't last. This was metal, so you could use it over and over, print. The Latin Bible was printed in approximately 1454. And then Martin Luther started the Protestant Reformation. October 31st, 1517, he posts his 95 Theses on the door of Castle Church. And this was the beginning of a serious debate about the church. He opposes the Pope. He gets excommunicated from the church in 1521. And here we go, 1521. Now William Tyndale comes along. He translates the Greek Bible into English around 1530. In 1536, he's burned at the stake as a heretic for translating the Bible, the Greek Bible, into English. Now, when the Bible was written, it was written in Greek. That means everybody could read it and understand it. But now here we are, Western civilization's developing. But no, we're not allowed to read the Bible like the original Christians were. We can't read this stuff. So it's just crazy. So now you have two versions of the Bible in English. You have a German Bible, you have a printing press, and the Protestant Reformation going on. Decades of religious conflict in Europe and the discovery of America begin the mass exodus for religious freedom to the new land. Now, this is history, and people that study it understand it and know it. But I'm a little older, and I haven't been to history class in 50 years or whatever it is, you know.
Right.
So to rehash this stuff and dig it up, it really makes a lot of sense, and it is very important. So now, I talked about this earlier, churches built with schools, Bibles distributed, read, Europeans talking about the education. Then you got George Whitefield coming in. It's estimated he preached 18,000 sermons in the colonies between 1738 and 1770. So you have this great awakening happen in the 1740s. The Lord is strengthening and building up his people for what's ahead, which is the American Revolution. So the Lord brings revival, but what does he really desire? He desires revival. He wants the souls, but he also wants reformation of the land.
Amen.
And we're in a season of that right now. It's revival and reformation. So the colonies are prospering under the British policy called salutary neglect, which means they left them alone. They let them prosper. They traded with them. Everything was good. And the colonies were used to self-governing. Then you have the French and Indian War from 1754 to 1763. And then the British say, we got to pay for this war. We got to start taxing the colonies. And then the colonies are, wait a minute, no taxation with that representation, right? We're Brits. We're your loyal subjects. We want to be treated fairly. And I'm not getting into all that story, but I will say the French and Indian War taught Americans about European warfare, and it taught George Washington about British arrogance. Because he wasn't properly educated and because he wasn't born in Britain, he could never be a commissioned officer in the British Army. So he got disappointed and left the army and built his farm. So you just have, I could go on and on and on, how they called George Washington into service and how he went through very difficult times. He lost New York. He watched his men get slaughtered on a hill in Manhattan. And he was very, very discouraged. And leaders and people that are pursuing the kingdom of God, if you're discouraged today, I want to say, don't be discouraged, because the battle is worth the end result. Growing the tree,
Amen.
Sowing the
Amen.
Seed, fertilizing it,
That's
it is
right.
worth the fruit
That's
that
right.
comes. And George Washington became the father of our nation. And it was through much, much tribulation, much trial, great losses that this happened. But he was the one stabilizing force that never moved, that never gave up, that lived to fight another day until it was over. And we need to be that. We Amen. Need to be that stabilizing force around Amen. Our sphere of influence that are Amen. Immovable, because we're looking at the Lord. We have the faith of Christ. We know that we're in his will, and we are doing what we're going to do no matter what comes. We're going to stay the course and stay on the path that God has provided for us.
That's awesome.
I'm ready. Get a little bit fired up.
Ready to go.
That's awesome. That's awesome. But we're gonna have you back, Frank. I'm just wondering, does Mary ever get to say anything?
I was thinking that myself right now, and I'm thinking, go for it, Mary, because I know she has a few things to say.
But ladies are welcome. I wanted to make a point. This event is for who that you're having coming
it's
up?
For
here.
Everybody. It's for
everybody.
It's for young and old, everybody. It's for business people. It's for patriots. It's for non-patriots. Maybe you'll leave and you'll be a patriot. It's for Christians. It's for non-Christians, because we want to spread the goodness of God over the land. And come on, come one, come all, come and see. Come and see what the Lord is doing.
And we have illiteracy with many of our students because we've lost this message.
Right.
And it must be restored.
Right, that's right. And when the founding fathers put together this government, they knew that they were making history. They knew that they were creating something special. And they knew that it would take a moral people to keep it.
Yes.
To keep it. Benjamin Franklin said, "If we can, we have a republic if we can keep it, but it requires morality." And so separation of church and state is the state doesn't tell us what to believe, but we have to impose our values certainly on the government.
So to maintain, to restore, to rebuild the foundations, faith is not optional.
That's correct.
Faith was the integral part
absolutely
of our nation from the beginning.
Yes.
And it is necessary to see it restored. And I guess if I just ask you, okay, you know, you had a career, you were an engineer, you're married. Why would you take on such a huge challenge at this point in your life? It is huge. We're up. I mean, there's a fight against
right
our faith.
Right. Well, I don't want to compare myself to founding fathers, but you know, you get compelled to do something because you want to make a difference. When I left the big corporate world in 2017, I just wanted to make a difference. And one of my models is, Lord, I give you this day. I live for your glory. And I just would long to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Because the one thing that matters is when you meet Christ, that meeting, that discussion that you have. And I do not want to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So what good is having a great career, building up some wealth,
yeah,
and then just going to the beach every day? What am I going to say to the Lord? Mm-hmm. What am I going to say? So I'm compelled to do what I do. And the Lord gave me a wonderful partner who's with me. We show up. We show up places. We show up for people. And we're making friends everywhere we go.
It's beautiful.
Marriage is the perfect partner.
Mary, tell us some of your God story. We have a couple minutes left, and then I really would like you, Frank, to be able to just share an invitation for people to come back to God.
Okay.
Because that's our vision, to see America come back to God.
Yes.
And for America to come back to God, we have to come back to God.
Yes.
And Second Chronicles, speaking of if my people, is a call to the church. So you may say, well, I'm in church. Why would I need to come back to God? Because a lot of us have maybe become silent. Maybe we've sat down when we needed to stand up. Maybe we have not stirred up in us the giftings and callings and understood what our foundation really is and the importance of getting back to us. Little bit of your God story. Pull up the mic. We have a couple minutes here.
Well, I grew up Catholic.
Okay.
Like Frank.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved in the Catholic Church. I even went to Catholic church, a Catholic school.
Okay.
Elementary school. I was born and raised in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
I came to the United States in 1993. I was in St. Louis. I lived there for close to 10 years. From St. Louis, from the city life. I was, you know, young then. You just want to be in the city. The Lord brought me to North Platte, Nebraska in 2004. I was in the middle of nowhere.
Mm.
The Lord had a lady from Shanghai, China, waiting for me there. We talk about missionaries going from here to the world.
Yes.
The Lord sent that lady. He opened the door for that lady to come to this country legally to minister to me. She invited me to church, Baptist church. I felt something weird going on. I wanted to cry. So that was the Holy Spirit. Now
yes.
I understand what that was.
Yes.
And then she invited me to watch a movie, which it was The Passion of the Christ, which many people remember.
Yep.
So through the Ming Pen, this lady from Shanghai, and evangelist Mel Gibson, I came to Christ.
Praise God.
So since 2004, I have been I knew that there was a Lord, of course. I knew about the Lord. But in 2004, I got to know the Lord.
Yes.
And then my walk with the Lord started at that point.
Call it born again, right? Born
yes.
again.
Yes.
So, Mary, how important is it as a couple for that partnership? Obviously, God has touched your heart. You all are moving in agreement in what you're doing. How important is that for ladies in the body of Christ to find their place and stand up?
Well, as a woman, I'm a mother. Mm-hmm. I was called to, my first ministry was my daughter. She's already out of the house.
Okay, your family.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that was my first ministry. For many years, you know, like I've been a homemaker. Now the Lord just placed me in a different place, which through serving, I was a volunteer at the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance to a couple of the events. Sherry Way, she recruited me.
Pulled you in.
I did not know that I was being recruited and trained to do this now. That's how the Lord works. So, well, thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Jerry and the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance for that opportunity, including Chaplain Dave, a big mentor, and his wife, Deborah Thompson, in my life. And for me, it's important to, I'm learning as I walk. Mm-hmm. I'm walking with a leader. Mm-hmm. In Christ, I look up to him. So I try just to become available to whatever
awesome.
It is that he needs me. Like he says, we just show up. So when he tells me, I try to keep my calendar
clear
for him. of course, because I do understand that the Lord has put a calling upon Frank, that he needed my help, and we have a great team.
You're a team together.
Partner up together,
yep,
to help.
It's beautiful.
Him. And I will share that. I believe that we're living in a season that we have to intentionally mentor the next generation. The Lord's using Frank to do that in our
yes,
you know, what we're doing. I know that I read through the Bible that God has been so faithfully passing the torch from one generation to the next. We see Moses and Joshua, we see Elijah and Elisha. So we pray that the Lord just give a double portion, actually for the new generation to ask for a double portion, even a triple portion. Hallelujah. For them to be equipped, and we are called to be to equip this new generation, as well as encourage this generation.
Yes.
To, like Frank says, you know, we need to keep it. We need to keep this because we're not going to be here forever. And I am happy to be able to celebrate with
awesome.
South Florida Christian Leadership Network the 250 years of faith and freedom. And I do encourage for all of you to come and join us. And we're going to just celebrate because we pray, but we also have to celebrate what the Lord has given us.
The webpage again. How can people get more information?
South Florida Christian Leadership Network, which is sfcln.org, or you can call 954-655-8480.
The return. Some are out there listening today, and God is tugging on your heart. Some of you are absolute beautiful pew sitters, but God is looking for an army. And I believe it's time to let that fire that's somewhere in your heart move into your bones.
Amen.
And I hear right. that in you, Frank and Mary. I hear that. There's a fire in my bones.
Yes.
That's what happened to me.
Yes.
Speak to those and lift our region up in prayer.
Yes, I'm going to do that. First, I want to say, Mary, you're very humble. Mary is quite the contributor, and she takes weights and lifts them and moves. So she's a wonderful partner. So, Lord,
thank you
for all those listening,
yes,
that want more of you. I say, Lord, give them more. For those,
yes,
listening,
Father,
saying, what am I doing? I'm bored with life. Give them a vision for what you want
you,
for
Lord.
Them to do, because the Lord gives you the desires of your heart, and then he gives you the desire of your heart. He puts it there, and then he gives you the ability to fulfill it. So we pray that you would increase people's faith to trust him. Step out. He wants to stretch you,
amen,
but he will provide the resources for you to be successful. So you have to grasp that, grab a hold of that, and say, I trust you, Lord, to accomplish the task that you've called me to do, because he loves the journey. He wants to work through you. He wants to work through you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today and you happen to turn on this channel, You need to know Jesus Christ because he's the best friend that anyone can ever have. And being a Christian means you begin a journey of improvement without ever having to worry you're not good enough. It's just that simple. So I pray that the simple faith would go out to everyone. And I pray that people would rise up, take a stand, be counted, and register to vote. And vote as a minimum. You owe that to yourself and the country to vote. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, Karen, you haven't had much to say. We have about a minute left. Want to give us some of your wisdom here? This has been an amazing day.
It has, and I feel like I don't even need to say anything because Frank has just stirred up the fire in me because earlier this year when President Trump said he was going to rededicate the country to God, the Lord like really set me on fire to begin to read, as you have, the history and to find out where we came from and to be able to hold on to that.
Amen.
And to do something. That's time to get off our duff and do something.
Amen.
One more time, September the 19th. September the 19th. This event is coming up. It's not too late. Go to the webpage one more time, Mary.
sfcln.org, South Florida Christian Leadership Network, or call 954-655-8480.
All right, and we have been blessed to have you all with us today, and we are, like, out of time, which seems to always happen, and so we're kind of winding things up. Thank you for being a part of our family. We are blessed to have all of you joining us today. I know from many different areas across our state, and we have thousands of people joining us today. God bless you, and your faith in God and your practice of your faith is making a difference. It is making a difference, and don't let the enemy tell you anything.